How are you, sir?
You look like you were fine before this morning.
So, yeah, I was getting up, fell off the sun, screwing something or something.
Oh, very well.
Well, I wanted to get them all in. Dealing or so forth. On that subject, you know, John, there really isn't any answer to this thing. Really isn't any good answer, is there? And, I think that
you're not watching.
So unless you just buy his program, which I don't think you can do. The program is not a bad program, it's a good program. I really think that you ought to look in terms of getting out of these controls for the first year.
You do?
Yes, you can. Now that's 5 months, 5.5 months. You can certainly get out from under some of it before then. You can exempt some industries before then. And they can do that tomorrow.
Or you can run the lumber thing. You'll find some others.
They'll find some others that they can get out from under. Now, if you have to go into next year, you do it. But the only thing that I think the only American people is to graduate this thing. But the principal thing that you acquire, seems to me, is a result of gradually phasing it out, is that you maintain a degree of confidence. You turn this thing loose on the 12th of August.
Yeah.
Just take it all on the chin.
Or the 12th of July, is what they're suggesting.
Yeah, well, or 12th of July. Well, everybody would simply say, well, then it's gone. You know, everybody would say, well, we got no fight against inflation. Even those who are not now inflating their prices would tend to do so then. But if you phase out, you tend to encourage those who are really not inflating their prices. You tend to keep them in line. You tend to keep everybody in line, except the worst offenders. And you've got them under control, and you gradually relax those controls so that you don't have any reaching of psychology applied to the American people. That's the first good advantage of raising that, it seems to me. My only concern is the food thing.
I can say the others, we've got to phase it out.
Oh, they are. The food thing, you make a good decision, John. Raise the facts of supply next year. We've got to make sure that you don't think well.
60 days is not going to affect the supply next year.
Well, it wouldn't affect beef at all, would it not?
These people make their decisions
the whole time.
2 years.
2 years. See, it takes 9 months to conceive of a calf. If she stays on her mammy for another 9 months, 8 months, that's 17 months. Then they normally go to grass for 4 to 6 months. That's 21 months. Then they go to feedlot for 140 days. That's another 4 months. So you're talking about more than 2 years.
What about the buses?
One packer where they got a bunch of pregnant sows. This may be, and obviously they're finding with corn prices what they are and grain prices what they are. It's tough to feed out these hogs and make money. I still believe they do it at 40 cents. I can't remember what's correct.
40 cents by, what is it, 40 cents of what?
40 cents, man, that's a hell of a price for a hog.
Oh, God.
Actually, just remember this, that the same guy, basically the same guy that feeds the hog raises the corn.
Yeah.
These hogs are fed by little feeders by and large in the corn belt. And that's the
way it's right in Indiana, Illinois.
That's right. That's where they market
the corn hog ratio and all that.
That's correct. Well, that's where they market their feed. They market it through their hog. Now, you know, if the corn prices are $2, they go feed that hog anyway. They go sell their corn. Because it's easier. By feeding hogs, you've got two ways to go. If the corn price and wheat price is not what you want it to be, then you feed it to your hogs, or you feed it to your cattle. So then maybe meat prices are better than corn prices. So they've got that flexibility. Now, but if corn prices are $2, damn you corn farmers in my ability to feed that corn hogs, even though they make a profit on
both. Well, let me ask you, but it's a very decent farm stand. So do you think that you simply represent the sort of farm viewpoint?
Well, I think that's right. And sure, he's honest and he's decent. And he may believe that.
But you think that he's wrong from the standpoint of what we could really. The real problem on the other side, as you say, is that Dennis is, frankly, I've come down from a certain program myself. I don't mind. I don't want to say it right now. I don't want to think that we're thinking about it. But nevertheless, he's really making an argument there for think the problem is, the real problem is this one, though, that you basically out of this great big darn country. There are a lot of farmers, thank God, and there are a lot of businessmen, and there are a lot of labor leaders and so forth. But there are a hell of a lot more people that just consume. And those consumers are for some kind of control. That's the problem.
That's right.
And if you could rip it off, they'd say, oh boy, we're doing it wrong.
And I think if you stay in trouble, I don't think 60 days is going to be that disastrous. Now, my issue and my every purchase is to take on the food stuff. You know that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Personally. But frankly, I don't think you ought to at this point.
Yeah.
Now, Butch is right. He's got a lot in his argument. You catch certain industries, the poultry industry. But believe, you remember when I was in the about the price of eggs?
Yeah.
You remember 23 cents a dozen?
Yeah.
The pig farm at Pierre? You remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Dollar. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we weren't under price control. It's a cyclical business. And in my neighbor, it was costing 28 cents a dozen to produce those eggs in his brooder house with 6,000 hens, and he was selling for 23 cents a dozen. So he's going broke. Now, and Purina owns damn near all the chicken places in America now because all of it is such a cyclical business. They overproduce and underproduce and overproduce and underproduce.
You mean the average little farmer produces chickens and eggs and so forth anymore?
No.
Not very. Maybe for their own use, that's all.
The pig production is a huge broadcast. It's 100,000 chickens, 140,000, 500,000 chickens.
And if they're
all in the country, no, they put it 60 days, my God. Again, they're all bought and sold by Purina. Purina feeds them.
Yeah.
They subsidize them through the feed. And that's where they get it. They stock them.
What about this argument, John? Broilers are in short supply because of the Trump problem. I don't think that's
wrong. And for that matter, remove it on broilers, let's say. Treat hogs and broilers, or treat hogs and chicken. That doesn't mean it's because it's meat, no sign it's the same thing. And if you need to, I don't want that they drown a bunch of the chickens. Well, this is a dramatic thing. They closed a bunch of pork packing houses. But let me tell you this further. I don't know what the facts are in any case, but I'll bet you if you dig into it, you'll find a little inefficient packing house. It was on the market just about to go broke. But more than that, was not a packing house that had renovated and upgraded its facilities to where it could meet the sanitary standards. A couple of years ago, the Congress passed a damn strict sanitary law with respect to packing houses. And a lot of them got business. And a lot of them didn't should. I suspect that a lot of these fellows that are now closing these packing houses were going to close them anyway. They used it as an excuse. I can't prove that. But I just know that what hit the packing industry, these little bitty packing plants all over the country, because a bunch of them closed in my part of the country. But there's no reason why. Cattle and chickens are two different things. So treat them different. If you want to ruin on chickens, that's fine. Now, they both consume the
mind. I don't think they're doing that. They're moving on chickens. They both consume mind.
Well, they both consume mild maize. They both consume grain. But even so, you can justify it on cattle. Leave it on cattle. And,
I talk about exports. About that, yes, sir.
Because I could do it as soon as you could. I leave on through the end of this crop year until you can see what production actually is going to be.
They gonna have some iced coffee.
Do you like that? I love some iced tea or coffee, but
yes, sir. Then if you gotta make iced tea, I'll have iced tea too.
Yes, sir. I wait until fall, late fall, leave it the clothes on the chair. And you've already taken the rest for it. Whatever damage has been done, it's been done.
international field. The great damage is not so much the denial of the crop as it is the fact that we have clearly demonstrated that if it comes choice between them and us, we're going to feed us first. That's the question whether or not we can supply the world. That point already is raised in their minds and can raise it. I would think that you wait until the end of this crop year to corn and maize and soybeans and then take a look at it. You're going to have a good crop. It's going to be a damn good crop.
Because
unless something happens.
Our acreage area, too.
That's correct.
I've told them to go into that business. We discussed it today. They still have at least 40,000 million acres. They want to produce every damn acre. They're going to share this market. They're going to share the vaccine.
Yes,
I think it proves as long as we live, there's going to be a demand for something we can never produce.
No question.
The world invests in the world situation.
That's what you said this morning. The only point you didn't make this morning was the theory. Part of what you said is that the world is more prosperous.
They're doing better.
They're more prosperous with dollars, they're running currency, and they can afford to buy that.
Well, you know, you take